Knocked back in for Marchessault. Has some room. Marchessault scores! Jonathan Marchessault has the Vegas Golden Knights up 2-0. Riley Smith in for Marchessault. Scores! And the Vegas Golden Knights come right back and restore their 2-goal lead. And this one comes to an end. The Vegas Golden Knights defeat the Winnipeg Jets by a score of 3-1. This series is all tied up 1-1. We're headed to Vegas for games 3 and 4.
Dennis Bayak with the call last night. A disappointing result at Bell MTS Place as the Vegas Golden Knights steal away a 3-1 victory over the Winnipeg Jets. They steal away home ice advantage, a complete effort by the visiting team, and what was once a best of seven series is now a best of five series. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening at tsn1290.ca and via the iHeartRadio app, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Solo tonight, Ezzie Ginsberg a little bit under the weather. We wish him well and quickly back on the road to recovery. Sean Assor is at, as he described it, the horsey show tonight, so he's unable to join us. So it's yours truly with you for the next 2 hours of hockey talk, covering everything to do with the Jets and the Golden Knights. We're going to bring you Paul Maurice's scrum with the media. The Jets, of course, have arrived in Vegas ahead of tomorrow evening's Game 3, and Paul Maurice meeting with the assembled media in the next little while. We'll bring that to you here in the course of the next 2 hours. You can reach us here in studio via Twitter, at Illegal Curve. That's the best way to reach me here in studio. Our website, it's got the latest in Winnipeg Jets, Vegas Golden Knights news. That's IllegalCurve.com. And of course, we start last night's contest at Bell MTS Place. A disappointing result for the Winnipeg Jets after they started the series so well on Saturday night with the convincing Game 1 victory over the Golden Knights. A lot of pundits thought this was going to be a mismatch. You know, the Golden Knights, full marks for getting this far, of course. You don't get to go this far in the playoffs by being a lousy hockey team. But a lot of the pundits, a lot of the analysts, even yours truly, said, yeah, but who did they really play? Who did they really defeat in the course of their two series victories? They beat a Los Angeles Kings team that can't score, really was a one-trick pony, and once Vegas was able to get a couple goals past them, Marc-Andre Fleury did the rest, and the Kings had no answer. And then in the second round, they played the San Jose Sharks, a better offensive team, certainly, than the Vegas Golden Knights. Pardon me, better than the Los Angeles Kings. But not what you would call an offensively dynamic team. One without Joe Thornton, who's, of course, as we all know, one of the premier passers in the history of the NHL. One without Evander Kane at full strength, as he was a bit of a shell of himself, given that he had an injury concern in that series. So a lot of people said, yeah, the Golden Knights have gone this far. And yeah, it's impressive because they're, you know, a quote-unquote expansion team, and well, that storyline has been done to death already this season. But who have they really beaten? And then they come into Winnipeg in Game 1 on Saturday night, and the Jets really pound them. They get those three quick goals. They make Marc-Andre Fleury look very ordinary. You know, it was a 3-0 game before it was about 8 minutes old, and the Jets were home and cooled for the majority of the rest of that game. So people were expecting much of the same for Game 2. The Winnipeg Jets, the juggernaut that had defeated the Nashville Predators, the best remaining team, the favorite for the Stanley Cup at this stage in the playoffs. Game 2 against the Vegas Golden Knights. Well, things started off okay for the Jets last night. I thought it was a back-and-forth game through the first, you know, 10 or so minutes. Chances for both sides. Marc-Andre Fleury made some nice saves. Connor Hellebuyck made some nice saves. You know, a good flow to the game. Nothing that would indicate that the Winnipeg Jets are going to be in trouble. The game was playing out sort of how they'd like to see a playoff game go. Back and forth, up and down, chances galore, speed being used, a transition game. This is, playing right into the Winnipeg Jets' hand. Then with about, you know, 7 or so minutes to go in the first period, Rory, talking to producer Rory over here, producer Rory McGoran here in studio with me. With about 7 minutes to go in the first period, the Jets just stopped. It was bizarre. you know, watch this team all season long. Everybody's watched this team all playoffs long. They just stopped skating. And it was uncanny. You know, the Jets, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was finally maybe some fatigue caught up to them. You know, people thought that was might have been a factor going into game one. It certainly wasn't, of course. But last night, with about 7 minutes to go in the first period, the Jets just stopped moving their legs. And they referenced it post-game that, you know, Paul Maurice came out and said, there's going to be about 10 minutes on video that we're really not going to like. And that's pretty accurate. Because the Vegas Golden Knights didn't start moving their legs. And I don't know if the Jets took the Golden Knights lightly and thought, well, we don't need to play at our best. I doubt it. I really doubt it. Any team that gets this far to the semifinals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can't take lightly. But with 7 minutes to go in the first period, the Winnipeg Jets simply stopped moving their legs. And Thomas Tatar, a guy the Golden Knights acquired at the trade deadline from Detroit, a guy who had been woefully disappointing thus far as a member of the Vegas Golden Knights. He'd been healthy scratched for game one of the series because he really didn't bring anything to the table. Thomas Tatar gets the Golden Knights on the board. First goal of the playoffs, assist to Shea Theodore and Ryan Carpenter. Jets just stopped moving. Jets just stopped skating. Paul Stastny gets beat. You know, Nikolai Ehlers also on the ice. Patrick Laine on the ice. Bufflin and Sherratt on the ice. Maybe there's a little bit of confusion there because they're not playing with their regular partners. The defense is in the middle of a defensive line switch, defensive line change. Whatever the case, Thomas Tatar jumps on the loose puck after Connor Hellebuyck makes a first initial save, and Hellebuyck is diving back to try and get his glove on top of it, and he just can't get his glove on top of it in time, and Tatar pokes it in. And the Golden Knights are up 1-0. And the Golden Knights are saying, hey, we feel pretty good about this. You know, we haven't played that well through the first 10 minutes of the game. It's been back and forth. It's been more of a Jets style of game than it has been a Golden Knights style of game. But look, we're up 1-0. And now we have confidence because the Golden Knights all season long have been, you know, sold short. And they were probably sold short a little bit after game one. But they get the first goal last night. They're feeling great about themselves. And the Jets are down 1-0. Then, 4 minutes later, almost exactly 4 minutes later, 3 minutes and 59 seconds later to be exact, Jonathan Marchessault comes in. And we know how good Jonathan Marchessault has been. We know that Marchessault, Riley Smith, and William Karlsson are the three best players for the Vegas Golden Knights. They are really the bulk of their offense. They are the offensive juggernaut. They are the line. They are the Scheifele, Wheeler, and Connor of the Vegas Golden Knights. And Marchessault and Smith were fantastic last night. Marchessault with the two goals. Smith with the two assists. William Karlsson with another assist as well. And Marchessault comes in and he scores to make it 2-0 for the Golden Knights. As the Jets, for whatever reason, just continued to stop skating towards the end of that first period. And the first period comes and goes, and it's 2-0 for the Vegas Golden Knights. And what do the Golden Knights do at this point in time? They very much adopt what the Nashville Predators did to the Winnipeg Jets on home ice. We're going to put four guys at our defensive blue line, and we're going to tell the Jets they have to try and gain zone time and gain possession, but it's not going to be clean. There's not going to be any clean zone entries. We're taking away the concept of clean zone entries for the Winnipeg Jets. And that's what the Golden Knights did, and they did it very well. And they kept everything to the outside because that's what a hockey team in this instance, that's the scouting report on the Jets. And there's no surprise there. That's the scouting point report on most any team is keep the shots to the outside. And for the most part, Marc-Andre Fleury did his job. He made the initial saves. There weren't really there any rebounds there to be gathered up. And even when there were, the Golden Knights were first on the puck. They were quicker on the puck last night. Kyle Connor scores to make it 2-1 with, you know, 7 minutes into the third period. And you think, okay, maybe the Jets have some life now. Bad goal. Awful goal. Marc-Andre Fleury, that's a terrible goal to let in. I mean, that's a bad goal in beer league. But Connor scores it, and it's 2-1 for the Golden Knights, and the Jets have a bit of a pulse. Ehlers and Myers get the assists on that. Nice to see Nikolaj Ehlers' name on the score sheet. Again, still looking for that first goal in these playoffs. So what do the Golden Knights do? How are they going to respond in the face of the adversity? It's now 2-1. The crowd's rocking. The crowd's back into it. The crowd outside the arena, the very small number of people outside the arena relative to what we've seen in the earlier rounds, they're back into it. How do the Golden Knights respond? Well, the Golden Knights respond a minute and 28 seconds later, Jonathan Marchessault from Riley Smith and William Karlsson. The best players on the Golden Knights stepped up last night for them. And it was 3-1 at that point, and you never for a second thought the Jets were going to come back at that point. You just didn't think the Jets had their skating legs last night. Now, I don't know if it was fatigue. I don't know what the exact reason was, but the Winnipeg Jets will definitely take the video of last night and they'll consider what they saw, and they won't like what they saw. Paul Maurice said as much last night. The players, Blake Wheeler, said as much last night. They won't like what they saw last night against the Vegas Golden Knights. And now what do we have? We have a 1-1 series, game 3 and 4 back in Vegas, and what will undoubtedly be a raucous T-Mobile Arena starting tomorrow night. Sure, there's going to be a lot of Jets fans there. I'm sure there will be. Jets fans will travel down there to see that game. I'm sure they won't have to give it second thought if those who can afford it. But it's now interesting. It's best of five. The Golden Knights were thought of to be out of the series after game one. Definitely a mistake by those who said so. And now we got a best of five series, which starts tomorrow night in Vegas. A game you can, of course, hear live on TSN Radio 1290. When we come back, we'll talk about game three tomorrow night. We'll talk about what the Jets have to do better, what the Jets have to do different, and how the Jets are going to respond, if they're going to respond, in the face of adversity in this Western Conference final. You're listening to NHL This Week. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Wheeler, who was backtracking, filling in for Byfuglien. Great play. Scheifele to Byfuglien. Scores! Dustin Byfuglien. 105 in. 1-0 Jets. Down the right side boards for Wheeler. Wheeler back for Byfuglien. Byfuglien lets the shot go. Score! Mark Scheifele, I think, was the Jet to tip it in the high slot. And a power play goal for the Winnipeg Jets. And they have extended their lead to 4-1 here in the second period.
Those highlights from Game 1, Saturday night of this Western Conference final between the Jets and the Golden Knights. Game 1, certainly a better contest for the fans of the Winnipeg Jets than last night's Game 2, as it started off real quick. That Dustin Byfuglien blast from the point, and then Mark Scheifele with a little bit of a icing on the cake with that tip goal to make it a 4-1 Winnipeg Jets victory in Game 1. Over the Vegas Golden Knights. Welcome back to NHL This Week. Drew Mandel flying solo on this Tuesday evening. Ezzie Ginsberg away ill. We wish him the best and back at it on Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment of the program brought to you by our good friends at Keener Jerseys. Specializing in customization services and branded team apparel, Keener Jerseys is changing the game with world-class craftsmanship and unparalleled service. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit KeenerJerseys.com or check out their showroom at 982 Portage Avenue. That's the corner of Portage and Sherburn. Tell them that Illegal Curve sent you. Game 3 between the Jets and the Golden Knights goes tomorrow night in Sin City. As we all know, that game can be heard live here on TSN 1290, an 8 p.m. Central Time puck drop for those of us here in Winnipeg. Jets looking to bounce back from the Game 2 defeat will have to do something that not a lot of teams have had success doing thus far in the playoffs, and that's winning at T-Mobile Arena. The Vegas Golden Knights have been a very good team. Well, they've been a very good team throughout the playoffs, but they've been an especially good team on home ice. I believe with one loss thus far on home ice, that coming in the second round to the San Jose Sharks. So the Jets, who have yet to lose twice in a row in these Stanley Cup playoffs, are going to have to fight back in the face of some adversity tomorrow night. Now you're going to say, well, it's going to be a hard challenge going into Vegas in front of that raucous crowd, in front of what will be definitely an anticipatory crowd as they see an opening and they see an opportunity for the Vegas Golden Knights, for their hometown team, to be the Western Conference representative in the Stanley Cup Final. Started off with a home win, take a 2-1 series lead. Boy, things would be rocking in Vegas at that point in time. Winnipeg Jets need to respond in the face of adversity, and they've done such a good job all season long about responding in the face of adversity. For fans here in Winnipeg, not just Jets fans, but really all pro sports fans, they expect the bottom to fall out at some point in time. We've seen it with the Bombers. Yeah, they're playing well, but... And we've seen it with the Jets earlier, maybe not this year's Jets, certainly not this year's Jets. Yeah, they're playing well, but... Well, this year, every time anybody said, yeah, the Jets are playing well, but... The but has always been, but they responded real quick. And but they started another winning streak. And but they won a game where people thought that they weren't going to win or they were counted out. And that's what the key is of this Winnipeg Jets team all season long, is their ability to lose one game in a row, maybe two games in a row, but never to have an extended losing streak. Never three games in a row without gaining some points. Certainly never lost four games in a row all season long. So this Winnipeg Jets team, for every time that they've been counted out this season, because they have. Remember, this is a Winnipeg Jets team that entering the playoffs, people said, yeah, but they have no experience in the playoffs. Yeah, but their goaltender is a raw rookie when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, but. Well, yeah, but they took off out the Nashville Predators in seven games. Yeah, but they demolished the Minnesota Wild, a team that they were clearly better than, and took advantage of the team that they were clearly better than. So tomorrow night's going to be a big litmus test for the Winnipeg Jets. You have a very good Vegas Golden Knights team in front of their home crowd that wants to show the fans in Winnipeg, yeah, we can even do it louder, and we can do it better, and we're going to have a big spectacle before the game starts. Cirque du Soleil dancers all over the place. We're going to do a video show on the ice. We're going to be hyped. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be loud. You're not going to be able to withstand the excitement in T-Mobile Arena. And the Winnipeg Jets are going to say, yeah, but we're the Winnipeg Jets. Yeah, but we have the second most points in the NHL. Yeah, but entering this Western Conference Final, we're the heavy favorite. And it'll be interesting to see how the Jets respond. And for the Jets, like it has all season long, it starts with their top line. It starts with Mark Scheifele. It starts with Kyle Connor. And it starts with Blake Wheeler. You know Kyle Connor wants to make amends. Not that it was completely his fault, for the turnover at center ice that led to the Vegas Golden Knights goal, when he wasn't able to flip the puck in, and then his teammates went for what I would describe as a bit of an ill-advised line change before the puck was already out of harm's way, and the Vegas Golden Knights, with their transition game being as successful as it is, were able to capitalize. That was Marchessault's first goal. That was his first goal of the game. We remember that. Kyle Connor wants to be better than he was last night. Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele both want to be better than they were last night. The entire Winnipeg Jets team wants to be better than they were last night. And so they have an opportunity to do it in the face of adversity, which is an area the Jets have been very good at all season long. They've been able to take that adversity, and they've been able to take the people saying, yeah, but, and they've been able to turn it on its head. And they've been able to take those people and say, we're going to be okay. We are the Winnipeg Jets, and we aren't the same old team that you're expecting to see. The same old team that struggles in opportunities. So that's what the Winnipeg Jets need tomorrow night. They need to silence the crowd in Vegas, much like the Golden Knights silenced the crowd last night at Bell MTS Place. They need to silence the crowd in Vegas, much like they silenced the crowd at Bridgestone Arena in Game 7. And in Game 5, and in Game 1, in the second round. They have to silence the crowd in Vegas like they silenced the crowd at the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul, Minnesota, in Game 3, in Game 4 of that series. And that's how the Winnipeg Jets are going to be able to say, yeah, but. They need Nikolai Ehlers to be better. 26% Corsi 4 for Nikolai Ehlers last night. That's not going to cut it. And Nikolaj Ehlers, all due respect, he's been struggling this year. Pardon me, he's been struggling this playoffs. And nobody's really talking about his struggles in an overwhelmingly negative sense because the team has still been so successful. But all of a sudden, if the offense dries up, if all of a sudden Mark Scheifele isn't otherworldly like he's been so far these playoffs, and Blake Wheeler and Kyle Connor after he got off the schneid last series, if all of a sudden those guys aren't as good, then they need Nikolaj Ehlers to step up. They need Nikolaj Ehlers to do more than have a dangerous rush every now and then that ends with him just maybe cycling the puck around the net. They need him to step up. They need him on the goal scoring sheet. They need him to be one of the scoring leaders going forward. Same with a guy like Matthew Perreault. Yeah, he scored last series, but has he been fantastic? I don't know. Wouldn't be fantastic in my mind. Brian Little? I think Brian Little's been okay. Tell you who was good last night, who I thought was very good, was the line, the AAA line, as my buddy Ezzy called them. Andrew Kopp, Adam Lowry, Armia Joel, that being Joel Armia, of course. They were very good, I thought, when they got the matchup against the Golden Knights top line of Marchessault, Carlson, Smith. Now you're going to say, Drew, how could they have been very good if that line was did so well in the series and got the points where they did? Well, I mean, yes, it's because you can't necessarily shut down a line altogether for 60 minutes or when they're matched up with each other. So Marchessault, Smith, and Carlson, yeah, they each had their, you know, the 5 points between the three of them. But I thought for a lot of the time when those two lines were matched up together that the Jets line was able to cycle the puck, was able to really keep it in the offensive zone and keep it away from Marchessault, Smith, and Carlson. Now, we're going to Vegas, though. Who gets the last change? Well, Gerard Gallant gets the last change. I don't know if the Jets are going to be able to get that matchup. I don't know if Paul Maurice necessarily is desperate to get it, but I think you're much more likely to see Gerard Gallant keep those guys away from the Jets' AAA line that was so successful for a lot of the game last night. Adversity. You don't have home ice advantage anymore. You don't have the last change anymore. You don't have the momentum anymore. The momentum's all in Vegas. How are the Winnipeg Jets going to respond? It's the story of Game 3. Are they going to get the first goal? Are they going to be able to push the pace? Are they going to be able to make the tactical adjustments to get to Marc-Andre Fleury and get the puck into the high-danger scoring areas and get the on loose pucks and get on rebounds? Are they going to be able to make those adjustments? I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. But every time this season, the Winnipeg Jets have been faced with any adversity, yeah, but they've responded in kind and have often come out successful. Game 3 goes tomorrow night, 8 p.m. start time here on TSN 1290. When we come back, we head out to Vegas. We talk about the series with Jason Pothier of the Sin Bin Vegas podcast. Much more to come on the Jets and the Golden Knights, including Paul Maurice, his scrum happening in Vegas sometime around now. We'll bring it to you on the show. You're listening to NHL This Week. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour, Tuesday evening, you're listening to TSN 1290. This is NHL This Week. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, flying solo tonight. And this segment of the show brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the Sin Bin Vegas podcast, he covers the Vegas Golden Knights, a good friend of the program. We're pleased to welcome back Jason Pothier. Jason, good evening. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, absolutely. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, Jason. How are things down in Vegas? Real hockey weather, no doubt.
Absolutely, 88 degrees, no clouds in the sky, and everybody's ready for hockey for tomorrow night.
Absolutely, obviously game three tomorrow night at T-Mobile Arena. And Jason, we'll get in depth on the series and the first two games that have happened so far. But before that, what's the attitude? I mean, we know this has been an absolute dream season in Vegas, but the Western Conference Finals game, the first game to be played in Vegas, goes tomorrow night. What's the feeling in the city? Is it all Golden Knights all the time, like it is here with the Jets?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been really exciting because even throughout the year, as well as they've been playing, still there's been, the news has been covering a little bit of the Raiders because they're coming in a couple of years. And UNLV is still a topic around here. But now it's all Golden Knights, and there's really no other reason to talk about anything else. So right now, everywhere you go, signs, billboards, everybody's part of it. You know, mom and pop stores, you just see everybody wearing a shirt or a hat. It's a really great environment. I'm sure it's just like up in Winnipeg.
Oh, absolutely. Jason Pothier of the Sin Bin Vegas podcast, our guest on NHL this week. Jason, you know, game one obviously went the Winnipeg Jets' way, given they jumped out to the early lead a minute in. They got the three goals quickly past Marc-Andre Fleury. Game two sort of started out in a similar vein, obviously not with the offense, but it was a back-and-forth game. Both teams, we know how fast they are, and we know how well they skate. But then the Golden Knights get that huge goal from Thomas Tatar. Jonathan Marchessault adds another one a couple minutes later, and all of a sudden the Golden Knights, you know, take control of game two, have the series tied up at one game apiece, and this has got to be a confident team now heading back to T-Mobile Arena for game three.
Yeah, you nailed it early with that Tatar goal. Not only did it give the team a massive boost because, you know, let's be honest, it was a very tough environment for them to come in game one, but you lose game one, that's acceptable. A lot of teams come in, go on the road and lose game one. That's acceptable. But they had to come back and play a good effort in game two. And I think early on, like you said, it was a little bit, you know, it looked like it could go down the road of game one. But they were able to connect and stay with their game. They got that goal from Tatar, which was an emotional goal for him mm-hmm. because he hasn't been playing well since he's been traded to the Golden Knights. So he's been in and out of the lineup. Him getting that goal was a big turning point. And then Jonathan Marchessault, when he's feeling confident, he will shoot from anywhere, and chances are he'll get in a couple, so like he did last night. So very confident group. They needed that first goal, and they needed Marchessault to have a good big game as well, and they got that. And now they're just extremely confident heading into game three.
Jason, you know, everybody knew the Golden Knights could score. What people weren't sure of was, can they defend well enough and maintain a lead, really clamp down? And that was really what impressed me the most about the Golden Knights in Game 2, is that after taking that 2-0 lead, they really swallowed up the Winnipeg Jets. Everything was kept to the outside. Not a lot was in the high-scoring, high-risk area and on the high-danger area. And any rebounds that were there, the Golden Knights were the first on it. You know, were you surprised, or should fans, you know, not be surprised at how skilled the Golden Knights were in keeping the Jets away from the danger areas?
Well, it's funny because I wrote a story about this today, and I talked to Braden McNabb about this today, actually. And heading into the series, I brought up a lot of, you know, there were opportunities for the Sharks in the prior series in front of Fleury. And yet, and a guy like Tomas Hertl had multiple chances, continuously chances over and over throughout the series, but they only converted two or three in the series, and therefore, in a way, it didn't necessarily make that area on the ice right in front of Fleury that much of a high-scoring danger chance for the Golden Knights. However, I asked them today, because yesterday, like you said, the first 8 minutes, there were a lot of opportunities for the Jets to get on the board, and they did it right in front of Fleury. If you notice their heat chart, their shots are right in front of Fleury, and I asked Brady McNabb about that, and he wasn't really thrilled talking about it because he knew that they did leave some openings. But to me, if you're able to allow that and not convert goals, that's big for the Golden Knights. To allow a big body like Wheeler and Scheifele in their position where they normally shoot and score, if they're able to just stop them from scoring, you know, multiple chances or multiple goals, then I think that leads to the Golden Knights' benefit because I think Marc-Andre Fleury is just a little bit of an edge above Hellebuck. But when it comes down to it, I still think that if you have those big bodies like Scheifele and Wheeler and other players in the zone right in front of Fleury, I think Winnipeg will get their chances. So that's kind of what worries me going into the next few games.
Jason Pothier, our guest on NHL This Week. Jason covers the Vegas Golden Knights for the Sin Bin Vegas podcast. Jason, you know, obviously Marchessault, Carlson, and Smith are the driving force on the Golden Knights offense. We know how good that trio has been all season long and how really, a criminal act to get Marchessault and Smith out of Florida, but that's a topic for another day, another time. It's that second line for the Golden Knights, the James Neal, Eric Halla, Thomas Tatar line. You know, obviously Tatar got the goal last night, so that has him feeling good, but I was sort of surprised at how invisible Halla and Neal have been through the first two games of the series. Do the Golden Knights need to get them going in order to really keep the series going in their advantage?
Oh, absolutely. And you're 100% right. Fans have been talking about it. Media out here has been talking about it as well. That line has to get going. And, you know, a few times over the postseason, they've been quiet, and other lines have sort of picked them up. Now, David Perron has been in and out of the lineup. I don't know if we're not really sure if that's an injury. We were told that he was not feeling well. However, I got a feeling that maybe they wanted to switch things up and get Tatar in there. They will absolutely. That second line will have to wake up. James Neal, they need some offense from. Eric Hall has created all season long, especially in the third period. They need that line to step up, give some pressure off that first line because, you know, they can't continue to do it every game, and they have been. So you need to just give them a little bit more support. And then, you know, if you can get one from your third line of Eakin and Tuck and sometimes Lindberg, Tatar, Perron, waving chair mm-hmm. there. But if you can get something from your third line, then you're really talking about really strong momentum from the Golden Knights. So they need every line to produce, and I 100% agree with you, line two has to step up.
Jason Pothier is our guest on NHL This Week. Jason covers the Vegas Golden Knights for the Sin Bin Vegas podcast. Jason, I thought that Paul Maurice made a bit of a tactical shift in game two, towards the end of the first period, maybe the start of the second, when he put Andrew Kopp, Adam Lowry, and Joel Armia up against Marchessault, Carlson, and Smith. Do you think Gerard Gallant really cares who that line plays against, or is he happy whoever the opponent throws on the ice first, he'll throw his top line out there and doesn't really, they're sort of matchup proof?
Yeah, I think that line is matchup proof. Sure, they've been, you know, throughout the season, they've tried to play matchups, but not necessarily with that line. Like you said, it's just, you know, they're just so good. They can play both sides of the ice, but more importantly, they can shoot and score on pretty much every line. So you want to make sure that you just let them play, make sure they have their full minutes because that's important to get them all out there in their minutes, playing penalty kill, power play, both ways. So that way, yes, yes, there can be matchup problems, but I think overall they have to make sure that they keep doing what they do, and also they have to make sure that they shut down the Winnipeg top six.
Absolutely. Jason Pothier, our guest on NHL This Week, talking about the Jets and the Golden Knights. Game 3 goes tomorrow night in Vegas, a game you can hear live on TSN 1290. Ryan Reeves got a lot of the headlines in the first couple games. He was certainly noticeable throwing his body around. Limited ice time, though, only about just under 7 minutes last night. Is he a fixture in this series, or could you see Gerard Gallant maybe swapping him out for a different depth forward?
Well, you know, the prior two series, Reeves wasn't necessarily needed because the Golden Knights, it was more of a, last series especially, it was more of a speed and not really a size game. It was physical, but it wasn't that physical. So this series is different. We know the size that Winnipeg has. There's nobody on the Golden Knights who really brings that size except for a few guys, Englin, you know, Braden McNabb. Mm-hmm. But you need somebody, just somebody out there, to play the physical game, to remind the Jets that, hey, we're tough too, we're big too. And also, let's be honest, Ryan Reeves has been playing well. He's been playing well in his 7 minutes or 8 minutes a game, and that's really what they need out of him. They need him just to make sure that he supports. He has, you know, he's doing his job, and that's keeping the puck forward and into the offensive zone. He's not going to score much. I asked him today, I said, hey, you got a little bit more involved offensively last night. He said, well, you know, I'd like to try and score, but, you know, chances are I won't, but I'd like to try and help. And I think that's exactly why Gallant has him in the lineup.
do you expect to see William Carrier back in this series, or do you think that his injury is more significant?
I can't put a finger on the injury. I honestly can't. We haven't got enough information, and in the Golden Knights, just like every team, is doing a good job of holding back some information. Right now, Ryan Reeves is fitting. So if they continue to go the way that Game 1 and 2 has gone, because Game 1, it had nothing to do with Ryan Reeves. I think we can all agree with it. It wasn't the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
It was all 20, but you know, it wasn't necessarily the bottom line. But I think Ryan Reeves plays until there's an exposure of him, a speed issue, or they just need to get Willie Carrier back in there because he's a little bit faster. But honestly, I think Reeves is going to play out the rest of this series.
Jason Pothier, our guest on NHL This Week, talking about the Jets and the Golden Knights. You know, Patrick Laine got some headlines before Game 1 saying that Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't really tested in the first two rounds of the playoffs. And James Neal didn't like the comments, and it sounds like some other players in the Golden Knights dressing room didn't really like the comments. You know, it seems like the comments really aren't that inaccurate. The Golden Knights played a Los Angeles Kings team that is relatively offensively inept. The San Jose Sharks, you know, aren't an offensively dynamic team. Did you have a problem with Patrick Laine's comments?
I don't have a problem with it, no. I mean, and to tell you the truth, the Sharks basically said that every game after they won or lost, they said, hey, we had to challenge Fleury much. More. He wasn't challenged in the first round. You know, we're getting to him. It's important to get to him. He's not Superman. They made all these comments almost targeting Fleury. It didn't tick off the Golden Knights until this Line A comment. And the only reason why, I think, is because Fleury played brilliantly last round. And there were so many chances for the Sharks to take advantage in front of the net. And he bailed out his players. He bailed out his defensemen, his centers a lot in that series. So I do feel like he was challenged. And I think San Jose played a little bit better than maybe people expected. So I do think he was certainly challenged in the second round, probably not the first. But I think maybe just at this point, the Golden Knights are trying to grasp at anything to kind of motivate them.
Yeah, any potential disrespect can be used as motivation. Jason, we'll let you go on this last question. It's now a best of five. From your perspective, what is going to be the difference in the next, you know, potentially five games that determines which team moves on to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to be which top line takes over. I really believe that. I believe that Winnipeg's top line, as much as they were active last night, I think they had, 10 or 12 attempts between the three of them, which is really good for a game. However, the Golden Knights, I don't think they can contain them as much as they did last night. And then the opposite. I'm not quite sure that the Winnipeg can contain the Carlson line as much as they had in Game 1 or even prior in the regular season. But, so I think it's going to come down to the top line. Also, I think the Golden Knights can score on the goaltender Hellebuck. So I think maybe there needs to be some sort of, and again, this is just me seeing Hellebuck a few games, 5 to 6 games throughout the season. But I do think the Golden Knights can score on him. So that's why I think the Golden Knights will end up winning in 7.
Wow. Jason Pothier of the Sin Bin Vegas podcast. Not making many friends here in Winnipeg, but we appreciate the insight. And we appreciate, you know what, you came with an opinion. And that's all we want here. We appreciate it, Jason.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Take care. Thanks a lot. Jason Pothier of the Sin Bin Vegas podcast joins us to talk about the Jets Golden Knights series, giving some insight from the Golden Knights perspective. When we come back, more on the series, talk about Patrick Laine's comments, talk about the Golden Knights response, and talk about Patrick Laine's response to the response to his comments. Everybody capture that? You're listening to NHL This Week. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Wheeler at the right side. Wheeler walks it in. Down for Stastny. Back for Wheeler at the right circle. Jets on the power play. Laine scores! Blake Wheeler finds the seam. Patrick Laine finds the back of the net. Power play goal. Winnipeg Jets 2-0 Jets.
From Saturday night's Game 1 power play goal for Patrick Laine. The Jets have actually been pretty good on the power play. 3 goals so far on the power play in these first 2 games of this series. Laine there, Scheifele also in Game 1, and then Kyle Connor's goal. sort of people forget that it was a power play goal last night coming at the end of that power play with the second unit on the ice. Welcome back to NHL This Week. Drew Mandel flying solo here on this Tuesday evening, and this segment of the show brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. To make an appointment to get your teeth to ting, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Winnipeg Jets Vegas Golden Knights Game 3 goes tomorrow night, 8 p.m. puck drop from Las Vegas. Patrick Laine, I played that audio off the top because he's been making a little bit of waves so far in this series. Golden Knights weren't really fond of his comments prior to Game 1, where he was quoted the following: "I don't know, just try to score," when talking about Marc-Andre Fleury. "He's been really good in these playoffs. I mean, he hasn't been tested that much the games I saw. We've got to do a better job with our shots and with our scoring opportunities than LA and San Jose did. Just try to shoot as many pucks as we can." Now, it's a fairly innocuous quote, I would suggest. The part that the Golden Knights, specifically James Neal, the part that he didn't like is the part where Laine says, "I mean, he hasn't been tested that much the games I saw." Now, with all due respect to James Neal, and you know, I understand the Golden Knights trying to use anything as motivation, I really don't think that that quote is too outrageous. They played the Los Angeles Kings, the Vegas Golden Knights did in the first round, and to say that Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't tested too much is an accurate statement. Now, he was tested a little bit more in the games against San Jose, and all due respect, he wasn't as good as he was against San Jose. A couple games where they got a lot of goals past him. Game one, the Jets got four goals past him. Last night, the power play goal by Kyle Connor, well, that was a pretty lousy goal. Really, it should have been a shutout for the Golden Knights last night until Connor squeezed that one, gave the Jets some life, albeit they couldn't do anything with it as the Golden Knights responded so quickly. So for guys like James Neal to come out afterwards and really sort of try and denigrate Patrick Laine for the comments that he made strikes me as just trying to find some motivation wherever they can. Last night, Patrick Laine was told after the game that the Golden Knights didn't like his comments. In Finnish, he responded, quote, this is the translation, "I don't care if they don't like it. That's not my problem." Patrick Laine is Patrick Laine. He's the same guy, same kid that we've seen all season long. Speaks, you know, maybe a little bit too honestly. Well, I don't say that he's too honest because gives us content on the radio. And he doesn't speak like a robot, so he's unique among NHL players. So I encourage him to continue to speak like this. But, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury versus Patrick Laine is certainly going to be a storyline to watch. Marc-Andre Fleury's performance in the next five games, if it goes that far, is going to be a story to watch. Marc-Andre Fleury has a 1.33 goals against average in five games played on home ice this season, this playoffs. A .953 save percentage. Two shutouts. He's been absolutely unbelievable at T-Mobile Arena. Now, he's been good on the road as well. Not as good. 1.98 goals against average and a .939 save percentage. Two shutouts on the road as well. Those numbers all a little bit inflated because of the performance that he put forth against the Los Angeles Kings. But going to T-Mobile Arena, going to a rink that he's certainly comfortable with, going home, it'll be very interesting to see how the Jets get to Marc-Andre Fleury tomorrow night. And again, much like we talked about with Game 7 between the Jets and the Predators last series, from my vantage point here in the TSN 1290 studios, the first goal tomorrow night is huge. The first goal tomorrow night is absolutely massive. If the Jets get the first goal, like they did in Nashville so often, it changes the complexion of the rest of the game. If the Golden Knights get the first goal, I don't think they're going to just sit back and try and bottle everything up. when you're on home ice, it's hard to play that style. You're in front of the home crowd. Your motivation, your inclination is to push the pace and go forward and add more than just that one goal. Add a second goal and add a third goal. The game will be a little bit more open, a little more loose. That first goal tomorrow, whether it comes off the stick of Patrick Laine, whether it comes off the stick of Mark Scheifele, whether it comes off the stick of Blake Wheeler, whether it comes off the stick of a guy like Brandon Tanev, who was so effective in the first round and the first couple games against Nashville. Whether it comes off one of their sticks, that first goal tomorrow night in Game 3 is going to be absolutely massive. It's going to change the tone of the game for the remainder of the game. If the Golden Knights get it, and the Jets are struggling offensively for yet another period, because remember, they weren't very good offensively all last night. So if the Golden Knights get an early couple goals or an early goal and the Jets don't get anything on the board, when do the Jets start gripping their sticks a little too tight? When does Patrick Laine start firing from anywhere? When does Dustin Byfuglien try and be a one-man wrecking crew? I don't know. But Marc-Andre Fleury has been absolutely tremendous on home ice these playoffs, and the Jets will have to have a response for him and his 1.33 goals against average and his .953 save percentage in time for Game 3 tomorrow night. The Jets goaltender, Connor Hellebuck, well, I think he was pretty okay last night. Got lucky, got a couple posts that kept the score from being even more lopsided. He just met with the media in Vegas. Here's what Connor Hellebuck had to say.
Connor, 47 saves, hostile environment on the road in the playoffs. Where does this rank in terms of performances from yourself this season?
I thought it was good. I thought the guys in front of me were allowing me to see shots. They were blocking the ones we needed to block, and our details are right. And it's just a product of how hard we've been working.
20-4 are the shots in that first period. You guys have a 1-0 lead.
Both New Vegas.
Did you feel like a lot of them were...
Slight technical difficulties there. That was actually different Hellebuck audio. We will take producer Rory out back a little bit afterwards. He's going to give me the thumbs up when we have the current Connor Hellebuck audio. We do. Here's Connor Hellebuck from tonight.
Welcome to Vegas. The crowd, what do you expect tomorrow night? You've been here before, so you no surprises. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting from the atmosphere tomorrow?
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be intense, and you know, this is all or nothing, all on the line, and that's what we grew up dreaming about.
How about the goalie matchup here? What do you think? You Marc-Andre Fleury yourself, your thoughts on that?
Hey, he's a great goalie. I've always thought that. I've always grew up watching him, and you know, just being part of this is a whole new experience for me, and I'm really excited about the way we're going to play. And you know, I can't look too much into him, though, but I got to worry about my own details and worry that I'm bringing my A-plus game.
Connor, in these playoffs, home teams actually have a losing record. First, does that surprise you?
Yeah, it actually does, but it just shows the resiliency of these good teams. And you're not just good at home. You're good no matter where you go, and you play the same system and same style, and I guess sometimes it just works out more on the road.
What's made your group so effective on the road in the playoffs so far?
Like I was just saying, I think we just play our game, continue playing it, and maybe the odds just show that it's better on the road, but I think no matter where you go, if you continue playing your game, you're going to find success.
What are some of the biggest challenges that top line presents? I know every team has offensive players, but they're that group in particular.
Well, I don't know if I'm looking at any line different than the other. I think everyone's dangerous, and they have good depth, and we need to combat that with everyone bringing their game. Every detail matters and every shift matters.
Club did a pretty good job locking down those last two games in Nashville, 5-7. Anything stand out particular there that you'd like to do again here in 3-4?
Win? I guess we'll go with that. No, you know, I think just bringing our game and making sure our details are right is the most important thing we can do right now.
What stood out about the first two games for you, Connor, so far?
Tough to say, you know. This is my first time being here, and I'm enjoying every second of it. So I guess that's standing out. Just the intensity's building, and the pressure's building, and everything. It's, you know, it's a fun time to be around and playing the game.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number two of NHL This Week starts now on TSN 1290. Flying solo tonight, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From NHL.com and NBC's Pro Hockey Talk, we're pleased to welcome back to the program our good friend Scott Billick. Scott, good evening. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Why are you riding solo tonight?
Ezzy's a little under the weather.
He's sick, that's true.
Dave is holding down the fort of our softball team tonight.
Okay.
And so that really, and then other people that I asked said, how did you get this number and never contact me again?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Again, a perfectly reasonable response from those individuals, I would suggest.
For sure, man. Yeah.
Scotty obviously brought you on to talk more about the Jets and the Golden Knights. It seems to be the only thing that matters here in Winnipeg at this point in time. Game 3 goes tomorrow night. You know, first game, very good performance by the Winnipeg Jets on home ice. Game 2, really, I thought that last 7 minutes of the second period, or pardon me, the first period, the Jets just stopped skating, and then the Golden Knights did a better job than I thought they would have been able to do of bottling the Jets up for the remainder of the game.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Jets played a bad game last night. I think that they, you know, other than those 7 minutes, like we talked about, I mean, they came out on fire. Mark Scheifele had a puck sitting in the crease that was, you know, maybe 6 inches from crossing the goal line, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, wherever it was into the game. And, you know, a goal like that just changes the complexion completely. But, you know, instead, you know, Vegas scores a couple of goals and the Jets are kind of fighting it and trying to come back and trying to, you know, chase the game, as they've said before in the past. And, you know, I just don't think that they tried to do it. They played well. They had good possession numbers. They had more high danger scoring chances. They had all of those things. They just, you know, nobody could really pull the trigger and hit the mark, and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't beat Marc-Andre Fleury. And it wasn't like the first game where, you know, the Jets seemed to be able to kind of get those pucks past him. But yeah, I mean, the Jets, they can't do what they did last night for those 7 minutes where, you know, like you said, you know, they stopped playing hockey, right? I mean, that stuff that doesn't really work in the playoffs and kind of, you know, derails a lot of games, because once you get behind, you know, as we've seen, when the Jets got behind against Nashville or whoever, it's not easy to come back. And you know, it's just the way it's been for the Jets. They kind of win one, they lose one. It was the whole way throughout the Nashville series. So it should be interesting to see how they kind of come out tomorrow. You know, I expect a bounce back. I expect just the Jets just to play a tighter game tomorrow. But, you know, we'll see how it goes come tomorrow night.
Scott Billick, our guest on NHL This Week. Scott Billick, my guest on NHL This Week. There's no hour here today. You know, Scott, we've talked about Nikolaj Ehlers. A lot of people are talking about Nikolaj Ehlers. Still looking for that first goal. Got an assist last night on Kyle Connor's power play goal. But he really struggled, you know, in terms of possession numbers. He was 26%, Corsi 4. How did the Jets get him going? I mean, they probably tried everything and they're probably scratching their head over this, but it's now to the point where it's now, you know, you got 2 games this series, you got 7 from the previous series. It's now up to about 14 games now where Nikolaj Ehlers has gone without a goal.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I don't know how you know, it's not like you're really going to move him onto a different line, because you like kind of how the other lines have played. You like how that fourth line has played. You like the third line. Of course, you're not breaking up the top line, and they kind of tried to do that a little bit and move Kyle Connor and him around, but Kyle Connor's flying around quite nicely with the top line there with Scheifele and Wheeler. So, you know, Ehlers is kind of stuck there until he finds his, you know, on that second line with Stastny and Laine trying to, you know, get himself out, and he's stuck there until he does so. And, you know, I think for Ehlers, it's going to take a goal. And, you know, I think he feels, and I know Paul Maurice says, you know, that they he's kind of been doing some of the right things off the puck and trying to, you know, be involved in the plays, even though when he's not scoring. But, you know, for a guy who scored, you know, 30-plus goals this year, or he had 29, anyway, you know, it's just, you know, a guy who is very good at goal scoring, and when he's in such a drought like this, oftentimes the only thing that really it takes for him to get out of it is that goal, because that restores the confidence and, you know, it lets him know that what he did was right and the play was going well and all those things. And it's not like Nikolai just hasn't been trying to produce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had some, but there was a play last night where he just kind of whiffed on a shot, and it's just like, you know, that was just kind of Nick Ehlers, his playoff story in a nutshell. And, I don't think anything changes until, you know, he kind of either makes a really very nice pass to Patrick Laine or whoever, or he kind of scores a goal just to kind of get, you know, kind of light that fire under him again.
Scott Billick, our guest, my guest on NHL This Week. We're talking about the Jets Golden Knights series. Scott, it was about the second period last night where Paul Maurice made the switch and put Andrew Kopp, Joel Armia, and Adam Lowry out up against the Golden Knights top line of Marchessault, mm-hmm. Smith, and Carlson. I thought, despite the fact that, you know, that they were able to get some offense, I thought that the Jets trio did a pretty good job against the Golden Knights line. Do you think that that's a matchup to watch going forward? Do you think Gerard Gallant is going to try and keep them away from the Jets line? Or do you think that this just may be a bit of an aberration during game two?
Yeah, you know, I think Paul Maurice was also trying to get his troops going too, in a game that they were trailing the whole time. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the Lions work this time. We talked a lot about it in the last series about how Lions would work, obviously in Winnipeg, and then when, you know, obviously when they're in Nashville, and I think that's going to be the same here. You know, how does Gallant now line match against you know, Winnipeg's lines, and because they were able to do well last night of kind of shutting everybody down, and you know, I think you kind of try and do that a little bit to try and get another line going, and I think that. Yeah, they did do a good job, but I'm not sure that's ideal. I'm not sure that's what they exactly want from that Lowry line. You know, it doesn't seem like, you know, they are a good shutdown line, but I'm just not sure that's something that they, you know, maybe could keep up over. So that line is very quick. It's very skilled. And I think it's more skilled probably than any line they saw in Nashville as well. So, I don't know. Honestly, if I knew, I'd be a coach, and I wouldn't be sitting here. But you know, it's going to be very interesting to watch going forward, and that's something I obviously look forward to seeing how, you know, Jared Gallant, who's up for the Jack Adams, just to see how he does, you know, work his lines against the Jets when he has obviously the right to last change.
Scott Billick, my guest on NHL This Week, talking about the Golden Knights-Jets series. Game 3 goes tomorrow night, the game you can hear live, of course, on TSN 1290. You know, Scott, you look at Marc-Andre Fleury and his numbers on home ice these playoffs are sensational. 1.33 goals against average, 9.53 save percentage, 2 shutouts. Yet his numbers over the last, let's say, you know, 4 or 5 games haven't been terrific. His numbers have been, you know, elevated a little bit higher, and these numbers are a little deflated from his time against the Los Angeles Kings. You know, which Marc-Andre Fleury do you expect to see tomorrow night for the Vegas Golden Knights?
I expect Marc-Andre Fleury that you've seen for most of the series. I mean, he kind of had his dud in game one. Didn't play very well in that game. and it didn't work. It didn't work out for him, but I mean, he came to this series with a 9.51 in the whole of the playoffs. I mean, we talk about at home and how good his numbers are, but even on the road, I mean, he was very good on the road as well. And he's just having a very good season and obviously a very good playoffs as well. I expect Marc-Andre Fleury to, you know, often always have his kind of best night, and especially in front of his home crowd there in Vegas. I mean, they've been, you know, if you watched any of those two series, Vegas was magical at home. You know, it's quite interesting to watch those series and just what they were able to do against some other teams. Obviously, Los Angeles and San Jose, and just what Marc-Andre Fleury's. I mean, he wasn't long off of getting his 5th shutout of the playoffs last night. If mm-hmm. Kyle Connor wouldn't have kind of spoiled that for him. I expect, you know, every night from Marc-Andre Fleury to be one of those nights. And yeah, you are right. I mean, he's had some. A lot of his bad games have kind of come after losses, too. He hasn't, his 900 save percentages and stuff like that. But, you know, I think he'll be back home. I think he's going to be feeling it. And, you know, I think Las Vegas took a lot of, I think everybody on that team kind of took a lot out of that game last night. I mean, you heard it from a couple of players who talked about, you know, hey, you know, we are here. I mean, we deserve to be here. We own the right. I think one of them said, you know, we earn the right to play against this team, and we can play against this team. And I think they've done that. And I think they've taken a lot out of that in terms of confidence going forward, that they can shut down Patrick Laine, or they can shut down Mark Scheifele, or whoever, right? You know, if they can play that kind of game that they did. And you talked about it in your last segment, just talking about getting that goal first, the first goal. I mean, I think Marc-Andre Fleury plays very well when they have a lead. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I think Marc-Andre Fleury is going to come out and play the way he has most of the playoffs.
Scott Billick, my guest on NHL This Week. Scott, to that point you were saying about how the Golden Knights, you know, response in Game 2, do you think that they were maybe feeling a little disrespected after Game 1? I mean, obviously the Jets with a commanding victory in Game 1, but a lot of the pundits, not the Jets players, but a lot of the pundits were almost declaring the series null and void at that point in time. You think the Golden Knights took some motivation from that?
Yeah, I think bulletin board material is always good, but you know, I think the Vegas Golden Knights know they're a good team. And I think they know that they had a bad game in Game 1, and perhaps that's just because they had 5 days off, right? I mean, the Jets came in kind of battle-tested in that game, first game, and they had just played a Game 7, and there was always that case of, well, maybe they have that kind of Game 7 hangover, but the Jets just kind of continued doing what they do. And then, you know, Vegas kind of, it took them a while to kind of get into that game. But ever since that first period, you know, they've outscored the Jets now, I want to say 4-1 or 4-2 since the Jets scored those three first period goals.
Yeah,
and so you know they've done well. I mean, I think Vegas found their game at you know kind of in the third period of that last game in Game 1, and from there they've been kind of playing it. They played it throughout that first game, or sorry, the second game, and I think they just gained confidence from that. And yeah, I think you know whatever the pundits say and whatever people say. I mean. It's always, you know, speculative of how much players actually kind of pay attention to that stuff. Obviously, they, you know, some of them paid attention to what Patrick Laine said earlier on, and Laine said he didn't care and all that. That's a fun little thing. But, you know, in terms of, you know, I think the Vegas Golden Knights all season long, people saying, you know, oh, they're not going to do anything. They're an expansion team. They're whatever, right? I mean, they're, you know, spare parts, all this sort of thing. It shouldn't work, and it's not going to work, And all it has done is worked. And so I think they've had a full year of experience of people telling them they can't do it, and they've done it every time that somebody said they can't do it, you know. And so I think there's a lot of lessons they learned throughout the season, and a lot of things that they are using in these playoffs to kind of prove a lot of people wrong. And I don't think anybody should be writing off the Vegas Golden Knights. I think that's a silly thing to do, even against a very good Jets team. But we can't forget that, you know, Vegas is obviously a good team. They are where they are, and they had a very good regular season and continue to prove that during the postseason.
It's now down to a best-of-five series. Game 3 between the Jets and the Golden Knights goes tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, puck drop here, Central Time, a game you can hear live on TSN 1290. Scott Billick covers the Winnipeg Jets for NHL.com. You can also read his work at prohockeytalk.com. Scott, appreciate your time tonight, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
Anytime. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Likewise, Scott. Thanks very much. When we come back, Jets coach Paul Maurice just met with the media in Vegas. We'll bring you that fresh audio up next. You're listening to NHL This Week. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Tuesday evening. You're listening to NHL This Week. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, flying solo tonight. Hope you're enjoying the program. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Remember, if a playoff game goes to overtime, that means it's time for a hashtag ICOT pool presented by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Game goes to overtime. Check out our Twitter feed at Illegal Curve. Check out Rumors Twitter feed at Rumors Comedy. Submit your one player that you think is going to score in overtime. If you select correctly, you may be entered into a draw to win tickets to see a great upcoming performance at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For more information, check out rumorscomedyclub.com. Jets head coach Paul Maurice just a little while ago, met with the media in Vegas ahead of Game 3 tomorrow night. Here's what the Jets head coach had to say to the assembled media in Sin City.
What's made your team such a good road team so far this game?
I think we have a good understanding of our identity game. I don't think it changes a whole lot whether we play home or the road. Played in a loud building. Minnesota's a loud building to start, and I think that once you get into it, you kind of get immune to it. And certainly, even our building at home, it gets you right when you get into a new building.
Building off of that, across the league, home teams actually have a losing record these playoffs. Do you have any theories why?
No idea. None. I really don't. It may well be parity more than anything else. There used to be a huge matchup advantage. Maybe it's the structure, and I haven't done the math of the playoff format where you're getting pretty powerful teams lining up against each other early. But no, there's no, other than the fact that the kids that come into the game now have become used to big stages, big performances, loud buildings at a younger age, so maybe it doesn't faze them, but that's the best I got.
I guess nobody has a travel advantage really in the playoffs, right? Everybody's on the same rest more or less, except for maybe a game one sometimes.
Thought maybe at times that the West Coast teams had an advantage in the final, being that we spend our whole year switching time zones. But the question would be, does all the travel in the West before you get there stack up on you and cause you a problem? But we're used to it now.
Can you get energy from a visiting crowd? Like crazy crowd in Nashville, be a crazy crowd here tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're always listening to your own bench, and that's what you're watching for on the road, is your own bench talking. It's not real loud when the play is going on, other than the oohs and ahs. As long as you can process right on your bench what's happening on the ice, you know, in the other team's building, they get a shot within 4 feet of your net, they're going crazy. As long as you realize what it was and it doesn't shake you up, I think you can handle it.
Well, you mentioned the Preds forecheck last night and kind of the adjustment that you guys had made or in handling that. How does your team better handle this and what you're going through or seeing at times?
Yeah, I think we're handling it fine. Like the team's forecheck, right? They get into the zone. Our possession numbers are right in terms of full control possession in the offensive zone, so I'm all right with that. They're going to have time in our end of the ice. They're going to forecheck hard. We're going to do the same.
What have you learned about their defense core? I mean, you hadn't seen them since February and kind of more of an unheralded group compared to what you saw in Nashville.
Well, that would be the team, but I have when the regular season is going on and you got your pre-scouts that you got to do, I always watch the teams that are hot, and they got hot early, so I watched them play an awful lot. You know, they move as five real well. Have all year. Back ends up the ice when they're going north with the puck and their forwards push back to their D on the way back to their net. They have three guys back there that really move well, that skate well. The other guys can move the puck, so it's a good team.
You're talking about the possession, Paul, and it's pretty even again, it looks like, across the board, much like in the Nashville series.
Right.
You can say that this series is similar in a lot of ways to the Nashville series.
Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of easy ice for either team. Probably different styles of puck movement, but other than that, very similar. You're right, I've got the chances for and against at even after two games.
Paul, you talked before the series about the challenge that top line was going to pose. Have you seen anything from them in these first two games that surprised you at all? Have they been
not surprised? I mean, anybody's top line around the league, certainly anybody's left, it's going to be a real power, and they won't need a lot of room. Right, they won't have to dominate a game to put two or three by it. They'll just need the right chances, and they certainly made the most of theirs.
Does Shifley Lyon largely played most of their shifts against those guys in games one and two? Would you be comfortable if Girard wanted to switch that around tomorrow?
The structure of Vegas is very similar to Nashville. Right, you've got the Johansson line and the Carlson line. You got the tourist line and the hollow line, more bent on offense. And you've got Bonino and Eakins, and then you've got the grinders on the fourth. So it's very similar. We both, I thought in the National Series, we both kind of agreed about 10 minutes into the game that we were both fine with the matchup, and hence we alternated wins. It may well happen. We have a line that's built to check, and we've got Enchev's line. So one of those two lines usually play against the other team's best. Straight home with you now. You're all working.
Jets head coach Paul Maurice lecturing the media not to have any fun in Vegas. There's no fun to be had in Vegas, of course. I'm sure that they're all going to behave themselves. Matthew Perreault also met with the media just before the Jets head coach did. Here's what Jets number 85 Matthew Perreault had to say to the media ahead of game 3.
Matty, based on what you guys were able to do in the last couple of games of the Nashville series, how much confidence does that give you coming on the road here now for 3-4?
Great confidence. We've had success on the road in the playoffs. We like where our game's at right now, so we're excited for this game coming up.
What has your team done well on the road lately?
Not sure. I think we keep it pretty simple. We know we bring our A game somehow on the road. We work hard. We get on their D. So I think tomorrow that's going to be the plan.
What do you anticipate playing here? I mean, it's no surprise you played here before. Mm-hmm. But the crowd, the atmosphere, you guys obviously have a great atmosphere there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Vegas? What are you expecting tomorrow night for the fans?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, it's the conference final, so you expect all the buildings to be loud and excited for games. So that's what we're going to expect tomorrow.
Matthew, you guys have always, at least this spring, whenever you've had this series get tied, responded with a win the next game. You've never had to chase a series, right. So... does that add some extra urgency maybe to tomorrow's game?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a huge game. Like you said, you know, we've bounced back after every loss we've had so far in the playoffs. So it's no different for us tomorrow. Just a huge game. So we got to have to bring all our best.
What did you learn about the Golden Knights last night, Matthew?
They're relentless. You know, we knew they weren't going to just fold and let us, you know, take two at home. They battled hard. They played a hard game. So that's what we expected from them, and now we got ourselves a series.
What are some of the challenges our D present? I mean, everyone talked about Nashville's D being one of the best in the league. These guys are kind of more of an under the radar group.
I don't think under the radar group, but they have a strong D core. You know, they play you hard. They can skate, and their system, they play into a great system, and they got a great goalie, so they play well in their own end.
Do you think they're similar to Nashville in that sense then?
Yeah, definitely. They don't give you a whole lot of space. No, they get on you. They get some speed, so it's a very similar.
And then the games have felt similar as well, because I mean the numbers again are very close, the same they were.
And the games feels the same as well on the ice. So it's that time of the year. There's, you know, it's the best teams that are remaining in the league that are fighting for the Stanley Cup. So there's not going to be a whole lot of space out there, and we don't expect that to change at all.
Throughout the season, there's been talk that teams come here, party the night before, and have a tough time playing the next day. What do you anticipate tonight? Early bedtime, you think?
Yes, definitely. Everybody's going to bed early because we're here to win hockey games. So we're going to go to bed early tonight for sure.
Just to follow up on that question, though, you guys talk about blocking things out in Winnipeg with the crowd and the hoopla, and Vegas must always have to block things out when it's in here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a nice city. You guys walked around. You see what it's like. But at this time of the year, it's all business. You know, we're here to win a Stanley Cup this year. So everybody's buying into that, and doesn't matter if we play in whatever city tonight. Everybody's going to take on themselves and get ready for a game.
Jets number 85, Matthew Perreault. Doesn't sound like you're going to be seeing the players at the club tonight. I think that's not shouldn't come as a surprise at this point in time. Maybe before a regular season game, but not before game 3 of the Stanley Cup playoffs of the Western Conference Final. Last Jets player to speak today was Andrew Kopp. Here's what Jets number 9 had to say talking to the media in Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas. Your thoughts of the crowd tomorrow night? What are you anticipating? You've played here before, so you know what it's like.
Yeah, it was a great crowd when we were here, for sure. I think we've kind of been used to great atmospheres, you know, the last couple series. So, you know, shouldn't be anything we're not used to at this point. But we know that they're gonna be loud, and they're gonna be cheering for their team for sure.
How important is shutting that top unit down? Whether it's your line out there or
whoever gets that matchup. They obviously did some damage last night in the game. What are the challenges that they pose to shut down?
Yeah, they got really good sticks. So I'd say, like, when they're coming on the back check, you know, they knock a lot of pucks down, and, you know, they always seem to find that seam pass. And so I'd say that's probably the biggest thing with them. And so that means we got to be really direct and make them play in their own end. And we know if we give them any time and space, you know, both or all three of those guys can put the puck in the net. So, yeah, it'll take a total team effort, you know, from the goalie and D out to the forwards. So really got to be aware when they're on the ice.
You've seen this one chance, Andrew, obviously you mentioned.
Yeah, it was just kind of a loose puck. And, yeah, I mean, clicked off the inside of the post there. So game of inches, like you said. But, you know, I thought our line had some good chances, especially in that second.
And when you say game of inches, I mean, Mark Scheifele has that great chance in the opening minute. Ehlers puts one off the post in the first minute and a half. Is that one of those where if one of those goes in, maybe it's a whole different kind of game?
Yeah, you like to think of it that way. But I think they hit a couple posts when they were up 2-0 too, so that could change it that way too. So, you know, it all evens out in the end. And, you know, with seven games, you know, it ends up the best team is usually going to win. So it's, you know, little breaks like that might not have went our way last night. But it's a long series, like I said, and we just got to concentrate on the next game.
What's allowed your group to be so effective on the road this year?
I don't know. I think we just try and, you know, keep our game simple. I think when we start to, you know, overcomplicate things and get too fancy, that's when, you know, teams can, you know, when teams play our game against us and we're too fancy, I think that's, you know, that's a recipe for success for the other team. So the more direct we are and the faster we play, I think, you know, helps us play fast and get all four lines rolling and get everyone involved.
It seems like you guys are keeping it pretty light here today. Has that been a big part of how you just get from game to game without, you know, and flushing the pass?
Yeah, I don't think you would have saw that last night after the game for sure. But, yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, it's a long series, and, you know, you can't be, you know, taking losses to the next day. You know, you got to worry about them that night, and then, you know, the next day, you know, get back to, you know, enjoying our time in the Western Conference Final. And obviously when tomorrow, you know, that pregame skate comes around, everyone will be a little bit more dialed in. But, you know, if we're not having fun, then what are we doing, you know?
How do you explain the back and forth in the series? You had it with Nashville, and now you started it again with Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, that's the playoffs, right? I mean, there's, you know, Western, we didn't think we were going to win four straight in the Western Conference Final. That never happened. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, they got a great team, and they've had a great year. So, you know, no team's going to bow down, or no team's going to, you know, just win easily. So I think it's, you know, it's, we're in a battle, and that's what we want, you know?
What have you learned about their decor this couple of games here?
Well, last night they were moving pretty good. I think we didn't really, you know, get the right kind of pressure on our forecheck. I think our dumps weren't that great, and we weren't, you know, supporting the puck and attacking with speed like we usually do. So, you know, made for them to have a little bit more time and space to break the puck out, and they, you know, made a lot of good plays in their own zone, you know, to break them out fast and kind of keep us on our heels a little bit.
Just as a matter of interest, did you throw rock, paper, or scissors?
I threw scissors. Yeah. And Bucky threw paper, so that's why I'm in here first.
When we come back, Josh Cooper is going to join us, talk more about the Jets and the Golden Knights, talk more about the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're listening to NHL This Week. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
25 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to NHL This Week. Drew Mandel flying solo here on this Tuesday evening. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Pleased to be joined by our very good friend of the program. He's the Winnipeg Jets number one fan, right, Joshua? Joshua Cooper joins us on the line. Josh, how are you, buddy?
Atlanta Thrashers number one fan? Is that what you're talking about? No, I mean, I don't really root for anyone.
I know. I'm just bothering you.
A very impressive run by the Jets, though. Waiting for that Kelly Buchberger sighting at the next game.
Yeah, well, it's probably as likely to happen as you know, one of your beloved cast members from The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, winning a Nobel Prize in anything. But you never know; stranger things, I suppose, have happened.
I mean, everyone says Trump's going to be up for the Nobel Prize, and I'm going to smack my head against the wall if that happens. So anything can happen these days.
That's true. There is anything can happen these days. Let's keep our focus on the world of hockey, Joshua. Obviously, here in Winnipeg, the only thing that matters is the Jets and the Golden Knights. From your vantage point in beautiful, sunny California, what have you seen through the first two games of this series when you're not too busy, you know, feeding baby Ethan and changing diapers and whatnot?
Well, first off, my view is I have my windows open. Beautiful weather. No, I'm just kidding. My view of games one and two, I mean, really, it's the Jets' kind of overall blend of speed and power and scoring versus the Golden Knights' kind of grittiness and overall just speed and puck movement game. And, I mean, the Golden Knights have really just taken it two teams so far in this playoffs just by getting on them and just forcing mistakes and possessing the puck and holding on to the puck. And I think the Jets are really the first team that they've played that has the ability to kind of take it to them in that regard. So really it's been kind of a chess match. And I think that Winnipeg, you know, I thought the Golden Knights were going to steal one game in Winnipeg. It was going to be game one. I didn't think it was going to be game two just because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Jets only had one day off between Game 7 against Nashville and Game 1 against the Golden Knights. And I remember last year when the Predators played the Anaheim Ducks in the first round, you had a situation, or not the first round, the conference final, you had a situation where the Ducks didn't take care of business and sort of had that limited rest versus the Predators, who did take care of business earlier against the St. Louis Blues and had a little extra rest, and they jumped on Anaheim in Game 1. So I thought that was the game. So I was actually really surprised that Winnipeg had such a strong start and was able to really just completely close out the Golden Knights. And then I was surprised that the Golden Knights were able to bounce back the way they did in Game 2 and win so convincingly against Winnipeg. I think if anything, what we saw after, I guess, in Game 2 is that this isn't going to be a short series as maybe some of us thought it was going to be after Game 1. It has a very good chance to be a long series, and the Golden Knights, while I do think they are the weaker team in this series, where I didn't think they were the weaker team in the first two rounds, and there's this sort of myth out there that they're this kind of never-ending underdog. I mean, they weren't the underdog in those two rounds. They won the Pacific Division, but I think they are the weaker team in this round. I think that the Jets should win, but I think what the Golden Knights showed is that they're going to be tough to beat, and if the Jets aren't careful, they could lose this series. So, well, I do think the Jets should win. I think the Golden Knights showed that they're not going away, and they're going to keep basically playing until the buzzer stops.
Josh Cooper, our guest on NHL This Week. Josh, you mentioned, you know, the talk about that the Golden Knights were the favorite in the first two rounds and the underdog in this round. And yet after game one, you know, a convincing Jets victory, you know, you read comments and you read analysis that almost made it sound like the Golden Knights should just be happy to be here. Do you think the Golden Knights continue to be disrespected and are using that as motivation in this series?
Well, I don't know who's disrespecting them. They've been kind of on this long honeymoon phase since the start of the season. I think that sort of the whole shock value probably ended around January when they just literally kept winning and wouldn't stop winning and won the same way and played a certain style of hockey that has won in the past. I mean, when they dismantled the Kings in the first round and then when they beat the San Jose Sharks in the second round, watching them, to be perfectly honest, in my opinion, reminded me a lot of the Pittsburgh Penguins, not from last year, but from 2 years ago, where that speed game just got on other teams so quickly and forced them into mistakes. I mean, from what I can recall, in game four, I mean, for a long portion of that game, I mean, maybe almost the whole game, I just felt like in a game that the Kings needed to win, I mean, I feel like they just never had the puck pretty much because the Golden Knights were just so fast and so focused and so disciplined. And I mean, look, like, this was a team that won the Pacific Division. I mean, they shouldn't have been the underdog against a team in the first round that didn't win the Pacific Division. I mean, granted, you know, I thought the Kings should have beaten them only because I thought they had some really good star power, but the Golden Knights showed that they too have star power. In the second round, I just basically thought to myself, well, they totally beat the Kings in four games in the first round. They got the San Jose Sharks in the second round, another really good hockey team. But, I mean, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt to the Pacific Division champions, even though the Sharks have a lot of really talented players. And they took it to San Jose and really closed out the Sharks. So, overall, maybe you could say they've been disrespected to some degree, but I don't really I mean, I feel like there's certainly been this crazy honeymoon period with them, and if anyone's disrespecting them, then they don't watch them because they're a really good hockey team, and they deserve to be where they are. I mean, they won the Pacific Division. You have essentially a team that could have won the Central and beat the Central Division champions in the playoffs versus a team that won the Pacific Division. It makes all the sense in the world. So I don't think that they should be happy to be there. I think that they are a legitimate threat to win the Stanley Cup. And if Winnipeg's not careful, because I do think in this case Winnipeg is the more talented team, they do have an incredible array of weapons. Vegas can very well beat them. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Josh Cooper, my guest on NHL This Week. Josh is, of course, covered the NHL for many years. And Josh, one of the teams you covered very closely was the Nashville Predators. And I want to go back to Game 7. I mean, the collapse of Pekka Rinne. You know him as well as, you know, anybody else that's, you know, been a beat writer around the league. Were you surprised at Pekka Rinne's performance during these playoffs? And what does the future hold for him in Nashville?
Yes and no. I mean, Pekka Rinne has shown the ability to steal series in the past, but he's also kind of had some of these series where he just hasn't been at his best, and it almost just kind of comes out of nowhere where you just scratch your head and you're like, wait, I thought this guy just stole the last series. How did this just happen? And, you know, it's tough to really say. I mean, I was after he won, after he and the Predators shut out the Jets in Game 6, I really thought that he had refound his game and refound his groove. Because look, I mean, he's a 6'5" goaltender. He can move like a goaltender who is about 4 inches shorter than he is. Tremendous glove hand, incredible puck handler, can start the play the other way. I mean, he's an elite goaltender in the NHL. I didn't think that what happened to him was going to happen to him. I mean, yes, all goaltenders have bad nights, but I didn't expect him to have the type of night he did have. As for the Predators and Pekka Rinne, I mean, he's got 1 year left on his contract. Do you trade him and try to get something for him? I don't know, maybe. I mean, that's a pretty big, hefty cap hit that he has at his age. On the other hand, he is probably going to win the Vezina Trophy, and he had a tremendous regular season. So, and honestly, UC Saros is a guy who, I remember when the Preds drafted him, someone who had watched him had sent me a text, and I mean, not as anyone who associated with the Predators, just a kind of a non-biased source, sent me a text and said something to the effect of, this guy is an underrated star, he's a stud, he's going to be great for them, and he's been really good for them. Is he going to be a starting goaltender? Should he be? I have no idea. I mean, he's clearly paid his dues. He's put up some really good numbers. But, I mean, also, again, Pekka Rinne has 1 year left, $7 million, a lot of money for a goaltender that you really, especially after that last game, you don't know what you're going to get out of him next year just because of what it means for his confidence. And I just don't know what they do. But David Poile, if anything, has shown that he always plans for everything. Especially the last several years, he's really kind of struck with very proactive moves, and no doubt he has a plan in place for what to do about his goaltending moving forward.
Josh, we'll let you go on this last question. Heading back out east, the Washington Capitals won the first two games of the Eastern Conference Final in Tampa Bay, although Tampa has an early 1-0 lead this evening in Game 3. How impressed have you been? How surprised have you been by the performance of the Washington Capitals? And, I mean, you know, I think I had the Lightning as a heavy favorite in this series. How did you see this series playing out?
Well, first off, I mean, I think that we were all just kind of sitting around waiting for the dream storyline of the NHL to have the Washington Capitals and their Manitoba-born coach against the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, I'm sure that that's what everybody wanted. But no, I mean, I don't know if I'm surprised by them. I think what's surprising to me is that they've won, what is it now, 3 games in a row without Nick Backstrom?
Yeah.
I mean, he does everything. I mean, he's been one of the most underrated players since he made his NHL debut, just because he's so good and does everything so well. And he is just an absolutely incredibly efficient hockey player. And when you take him out of the lineup, who, you know, a guy, in my opinion, is one of the 10 best centers, maybe in any given night, 5 best centers in the NHL, that's a gaping hole. And they've been able to piece together 3 straight wins. I mean, and not just that, you go back to the third period of Game 5 against Pittsburgh, And I think he got hurt that period, if I'm not mistaken, or didn't play much that period because he got hurt at some point earlier in the game. And that was the period where they came back and beat Pittsburgh and set up their clinching scenario in Game 6. So, I mean, that's the surprising thing, is the fact that they've won this many games without him, and he's such a wonderful hockey player. So, you know, they're a talented team. They're a big team. You said Tampa's up 1-0. Sorry, I haven't had a chance to see the score.
1-0 Tampa with about 2 minutes to go in the first period.
1-0 Tampa, is that what you said?
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I think that's only, I mean, I could be wrong on this, but like the second or third time this whole playoffs that the Capitals have not scored the first goal in a game, which is unbelievable to me. I mean, they've started hot. They've come back when they haven't started hot or when they've given up leads. They showed an incredible amount of resiliency against the Columbus Blue Jackets when they went down 0-2 at home. And, I mean, I don't know what to think about them, but it's been fun watching them because I think that it's a team that I've always thought that this type of run always happens when you least expect it. And I sort of thought to myself, you know, this is, for all we know, this could be the year the Capitals finally actually go on somewhat of a legitimate run. And they have. And it's been a lot of fun to watch because there's a lot of frustration in that with that team. And I know that there's a lot of people who have worked incredibly hard to get just to this point. And it's been fun to see them get here.
Josh Cooper covers the NHL. He's a good friend of the program. Joshua, thank you for joining me this evening. Say hi to the family for me.
Yeah, we went through an entire show without really delving into Becca's season of The Bachelorette. So,
well, I promise you that next time you come on, you and Ezzy can spend at least a good number of minutes on the program comparing new baby tricks. How about that?
You know. By the way, she's a Minnesotan, so she's probably a hockey fan.
I know nothing about The Bachelor, and that's going to continue to be the case.
Very nice, very nice. Well, give my best to everyone, and thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you, Josh.
And very excited for Ezzy for the new edition.
Yes,
very exciting.
Yes, we'll be here soon enough. Thanks, Josh. We'll do it again soon.
Take care.
When we come back, we talk about the Lightning and the Capitals series. You're listening to NHL This Week. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
To the corner, and it's Oshie to get it there. Oshie tried to sidestep and get to the front of the net, no luck. Fed out in front, score! It's Lars Eller on a feed from the front, and Eller is able to break the tie.
From Game 2 of the Capitals Lightning Series, it was a 2-2 game late in the second period, and then boy, oh boy, did the Washington Capitals explode. They get two late goals. They end up winning the game 6-2, taking a 2-0 series lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Capitals winning both games in Tampa to start the series. Game 3 underway right now. The Lightning with a 1-0 lead after 20 minutes. Huge game for the Tampa Bay Lightning as they try and claw back into this series. But the Washington Capitals, as we just alluded to it with Josh Cooper in the previous segment, look like an absolute juggernaut right now, especially considering that they are without Nicklas Backstrom in their lineup. Welcome back to NHL This Week. This segment brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Remember, if you're looking for a place to catch the game, Bernstein's Deli's got all your big screen TVs. They've got all your food and drink specials. It's hashtag Hockey Night at Bernstein's. For more information, check them out at bernsteinsdeli.com. A great place to catch the game. Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin absolutely looking like a man possessed. Evgeny Kuznetsov with a goal and two assists in game two as well, putting the Tampa Bay Lightning really behind the eight ball in what I think most people are surprised about. I mean, when we were talking about this series, I think it must have been last week. I don't remember if it was last Tuesday or last Saturday when we were previewing this Eastern Conference final. I didn't think it was going to be much of a competitive series. I thought the way the Tampa Bay Lightning had looked in the first two rounds, defeating an overmatched New Jersey Devils team in five. No big surprise there. But then the way they took care of the Boston Bruins, a Boston Bruins team that had a terrific regular season, they win game one, the Bruins do, and then the Lightning win the next four. I thought this Tampa Bay Lightning team had the look of a juggernaut. They had the look of what I thought was the best team thus far in the playoffs. So I was quite surprised to see them lose the first two games, both on home ice. Andrei Vasilevskiy looking very average in net for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Certainly nothing to write home about with his performance. Yet, on the other side, a guy who struggled all season long, but has been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, you know, in recent years. The guy I'm talking about, of course, is Braden Holtby. Holtby, who didn't start the playoffs, as the Capitals' number one goaltender. That was Philip Grubauer. Remember, Grubauer started the series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They lost both games. They switched to Holtby. He went in, then they won the next four against the Blue Jackets. Then they took care of business against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Well, Braden Holtby, in his last eight games, so really going back to the series against the Penguins and then the first two games of this Eastern Conference Final, a .923 save percentage and a 2.11 goals against average. Conversely, you look at Andrei Vasilevskiy in his last seven games. So that is game five of the first round. That's the second round against the Boston Bruins, and then the first two games of this series, an .886 save percentage and a 3.28 goals against average. That's not going to get it done for the Tampa Bay Lightning. No matter the offensive firepower that they have, they need Andrei Vasilevskiy to be better. The Capitals just need to keep going with the status quo. Can you imagine how good they'll be if they get Nicklas Backstrom back? In any event, it's going to be a terrific Game 3, it's going on right now as the Washington Capitals look to take a stranglehold on that Eastern Conference Final and really put the Tampa Bay Lightning on the ropes. If it's going to be entertaining, you can watch it right now. That's it for this Tuesday evening here with NHL This Week. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thank you very much for joining us. I thank my guests for joining me, Josh Cooper. You just heard from him, Scott Billick of the Winnipeg Sun and NHL.com, and Jason Pothier of the Sin Bin Vegas podcast. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on our website, illegalcurve.com, on tsn1290.ca, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, get it sent to you automatically each and every week. Big thanks to our sponsor, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Support those fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Big props to producer Rory McGoran doing a great job behind the board. I'm Drew Mindell. Until Saturday at 9 a.m. Pardon me, Saturday 3 p.m. We wish you good night and good luck.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.